Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because the salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of your word. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord Jesus. Story that we listen to from the Gospel of John is one of the stories that the church uses in particular during this Lenten season. And it does so because it really contains within it a paradigm of not only Lent, but a paradigm of Christian living. As I mentioned in the very beginning, before proclaiming the gospel, 3 words: engagement, encounter, and transforming. If you listen, as I say, to the reading, it is very clear that it begins with an engagement. Jesus engages the Samaritan woman, and she becomes engaged with him in that conversation about drawing water, the very rich symbol in the Gospel of John. But the engagement quickly moves, and it becomes ultimately an encounter as Jesus shares with her his insight into her when he asks her that simple question, go get your husband. And she responds, I have no husband. And Jesus says, that's right. You're coming to grips with the truth. You've had 5, and the one you're with now is not your husband. So there is more than engagement, there's encounter. She encounters Jesus, who allows her to encounter herself and the truth of her life. And from that point on, the story begins to change drastically. As she goes forth in the conversation with Jesus, you begin to see she is a different person. And perhaps the greatest sign of that difference is when she goes to the people of the town and to share with them and you know she's an outcast by the fact that she comes at noon to draw water. Everyone else in that town, all of the other women, would come in the cool of the dawn to draw water, not in the height of heat at midpoint of the day. So she comes when nobody is around, because she's not accepted by the town and by the town's people. And yet, as a result of the engagement and as a result of the encounter, there is this great transformation. She who was outside now goes forth as a disciple, as one who is received by the townspeople. And not only received by the townspeople, but in a sense becomes a leader of the townspeople, because she draws them to Jesus. They follow her to him, and they become engaged with him. And that engagement becomes an encounter when they ask Jesus to stay with them. And ultimately, for them, it is a transformation. When they say, "No longer is it by your words that we believe, but because we have heard him for ourselves, and we know now that he is the Savior of the world." John puts this story in chapter 4. It is kind of the beginning of what you might call development of the journey. Because John is saying, here's how it works. Jesus engages you. You have to allow yourself to be engaged. This lady, in a sense, this woman, could have said, "This is a strange person. Let me take my bucket and go home. I'll come back later." But she allows herself to be engaged. And not only does she allow herself to be engaged at the initiative of Jesus, and that's John's point, is that we don't initiate, Jesus initiates. We have to be open to that engagement. We have to make ourselves available. The great disciplines of Lent. Lent is a season of prayer. You make yourself available to be engaged. But Jesus is doing the engagement. And the engagement goes forth and becomes encounter. Yeah? Because Jesus gives us the freedom to know ourselves. Lent is a season of reflection and prayer. And in that reflection, we come to see our sin, our shortcomings, and our failures. We're not frightened of them, because the one who empowers us is there with us, leading us on and taking us forward. And as a result of that, Lent is about transformation. Because in this season of engagement and encounter, we go to Easter. And on Easter, we will renew our baptism. And we will renew our baptism because that's the sacrament of our transformation. When we go from being who we are as humans into being the ones who have grown into the life of Christ by the power of the Spirit, being ever one with the Father. In a sense, the transformation is being transformed into the children of God, being participants in the life of the divinity. Lent is about that. But Lent requires our willingness transformation, which hopefully then, like this woman, sends us out as disciples, as those who go to others to share the good news of God's love, and hopefully then become the ones who draw others to Jesus, that Jesus may transform them also.